The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
The Jericho Network on Westwood One. All right. It's the big news that the entire world is talking about. We're only 1 week away from Star Wars, The Force Awakens. And I've got the Star Wars Symposium here today. We're discussing all things Star Wars with the returning team, Tiger Awesome. I wanted to find the three biggest Star Wars nerds that I could find. And when you think of nerds, you think of Nick Mundy, Clint Gage, and Michael Truly, Team Tiger Awesome, the amazing group of guys that I made Nothing to Report with, the Comedy Central web series, huge, huge hit. Go to ComedyCentral.com or on YouTube to watch Nothing to Report. And stick here, right with us today, the Star Wars Symposium with Mundy, Truly, and Gage. We're breaking down the original three movies and the prequels, what we love about them, what we don't. We mull over some of the characters and plot lines that made us go, what the hell was Lucas thinking? We're going over favorite characters, which of the Star Wars movies we like best. You'll hear some trivia along the way that you didn't know, maybe even a couple stories you never heard before. We're going to talk about Porkins. We love Porkins. We discuss some of the rumors about stories and characters we might see in The Force Awakens. And if you're not a Star Wars fan, and that's blasphemous, but if you're not, you'll be by the time this podcast is over. The big Talk is Jericho Star Wars Symposium is about to begin.
Strong am I with the Force.
I can feel you hitting that subscribe button on iTunes, and thank you. I do appreciate it. I can also feel you leaving this podcast a 5-star rating with some killer intergalactic comments. The more you rate this show, the more stars you give it, the better it is for me and the better chance I have of getting Harrison Ford on Talk is Jericho. Hey, what about that? How about Mark Hamill, Carrie Fisher, Anthony Daniels, Peter Mayhew, somebody from Star Wars, Art Shamsky. You want to see Art Shamsky? He played the third Ewok in Return of the Jedi, I think. I'm feeling you're going to love this podcast. I'm also feeling you're going to win the free copy of DDP Yoga signed by Diamond Dallas Page himself. And all you got to do to get that is tweet your personal DDP Yoga success story to @TalkIsJericho. Use the hashtag podcast1. One winner will be schwazen to get the free DDP Yoga program autographed by Mr. Page himself. DDP Yoga, more than just a workout program, it's a healthier way of life that's already helped tens of thousands of people. You guys know how much it's helped me. I wouldn't still be in the ring or on stage with Fozzie giving high performances if not for DDP Yoga. Go to Instagram and see all the jumping and singing and craziness that we did this last tour. It also helped Arthur Borman. Arthur's a disabled veteran who was injured from too many jumps as a paratrooper. For 15 years, he was told he'd never walk again without crutches and leg braces. Arthur gained a ton of weight, nearly gave up on himself. That's when he discovered DDP and DDP Yoga. Arthur's story is pretty unbelievable. You got to see the video and the pictures, which you can check out at ddpyoga.com/Jericho. Incredible. DDP Yoga has helped tens of thousands of people, including AJ Styles. Had to go home early from a New Japan tour. AJ is one of the best workers in the world right now. He's currently training with DDP at DDP's, what would you call it, warehouse, sanctuary in Atlanta. And that was up on Instagram, so I ain't talking out of school. If it's good enough for AJ, good enough for Chris Jericho, it's good enough for you. And if you got a DDP Yoga story, tweet your DDP Yoga story to @TalkIsJericho. Use the hashtag podcast1, and you could win a copy of the DDP Yoga program autographed by DDP himself. That's right. Just tweet me your DDP Yoga story @TalkIsJericho. Use the hashtag podcast1 for your show. announced to win an autographed DDP yoga program. A winner will be chosen at random. And you still have time to experience your own DDP yoga story, because DDP has given you sexy beast listeners here on Talk is Jericho a great deal on his yoga program. Just go to ddpyoga.com/Jericho. Take advantage of it. ddpyoga.com/Jericho. DDP yoga changes lives. It changed mine. I want you to give it a shot and go do it today.
You don't know the power of the dark side.
Talk is Jericho, baby. Talk is Jericho. Talk is Jericho, mama. Talk is me.
Guys, guess what? I got more videos of my friends having sex with my wife.
And on that note, we're back here.
Which is a real thing.
With the illustrious Team Tiger Awesome, about 1 year after we recorded one of the greatest digital series of all time. It was actually voted that in Luxembourg. Congratulations, guys.
Nice.
We couldn't be there to pick up the award.
Well, there's one thing that they've always said about Luxembourgians, is that they know comedy.
They do, right. The Borgs know best. And that's not Borg like
comedy.
Star Trek Borg, which we're going to get to. Actually, we're not going to get to Star Trek. We'll get to Star Wars.
Okay.
But this is Borg, B-O-U-R-G.
Yeah, you specifically said Star Wars. If it's Star Trek, I'm just getting the hell out
of here. Well, basically, what we're here doing is the eve of the new Star Wars movie, The Force Awakens, after 10 years of speculation, and I wanted to think, like, who can I get to just sit down and talk about Star Wars? Who is on the same wavelength as I am? Who's, like, got nothing better to do on a Sunday afternoon because they're such nerdy losers like me? Team Tiger Awesome. Jumped right in my head.
Guilty.
Yeah.
Guilty as charged.
Who are my most worthless, stupid... ugly friends.
What kind of silly sacks of crap will be sitting around with nothing better to do and talk to me about this?
Team Tiger Awesome.
That's us.
So we got the lineup of Nick Mundy.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Michael Truly. Hey. Truly in love.
I got a song.
You're the one that's known. And of course, Clint Gage.
Yeah, hi.
Very cool to see you guys again. So we're talking about Star Wars. Now, it's the big rage right now, and everybody is so excited about it, or a lot of people aren't excited about it. First and foremost, what do you guys think about the fact there's a new Star Wars movie?
Look, I'm pumped. I'm so pumped, I have not actually watched any footage.
Yeah, you've like embargoed.
Keeping clean.
Yeah, no. I my wife is about to kill me because every time we go to a movie and the trailer plays, I run out the theater screaming just so I don't see anything.
Why?
Fingers in ears. No.
You should start off by saying how long you thought Episode One, The Phantom Menace, was a great movie.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was like an abuse.
Should say how many years.
Yeah, about 2.5 years.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, no, because like...
And you've
watched
it?
If it took you 2.5 years to realize that it was a bad movie, then it took me a further 4 or 5 years to get you to admit that it was a bad movie.
Because
I had to work on you...
Well, it was
like
an abusive relationship. It was an abusive relationship.
Now, were you just in denial?
Yes. Yeah. It was just like, look, he'll keep getting better. He'll just keep getting better. He's like, Johnny's good. Johnny's a good guy. Like, just, he's changed. Lucas changed.
He bought me this feather boa and a cake.
Because that's the thing, like, super disappointing. Like, I mean, you're one of the few people that thought it was a good movie, because there was a lot of anticipation.
Part of the reason I thought it was a good movie is because I slept over for tickets for 3 days and almost didn't graduate high school, my senior year.
Yeah, you
high
skipped
school.
A lot
yeah,
of...
there's a real sad moment in Nick's life when Episode One came out that he didn't realize until, like, 6 years later.
Well,
yeah,
which was?
What the hell is wrong
you
with
were
me?
Going to...
I almost threw my life away... for a god awful movie.
You were going to fail economics and therefore not be allowed
to
graduate high school.
I had to buy my economics teacher tickets to bribe him so I would pass.
Because he was camped out for days.
Because that's how it was, right?
Yeah.
Like, this was, well, even though movie tickets existed, I'm still an idiot. Like, this was 1999. Like,
you're talking about even though you could get them online.
Yeah. Like, but I still waited through a tornado. There was a tornado.
Existed.
People left the line. And I was like, nope, I'm sitting through it. I survived the tornado.
So did that thin the line out at least?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I was second.
Yeah, a lot of good men that day.
Yeah.
But lost a lot of good Star Wars fans that day. Those are the hardcores. Yeah. You don't get them back easy.
So that's
unfortunately,
part of it.
Like, we didn't lose Nick.
I got destroyed by the prequels. And so, like, that's part of the reason I'm trying not to get too excited about it. Also, like, trailers tend to ruin all the movies anyway. So I'm just like... Here's a fun experiment.
Well, I mean, going back to early 99, because what was it, May of 1999 when it came out? And, you know, when the lead up to the prequel coming out, they got the cool poster out with, like, little Anakin in the shadow he's casting as Darth Vader.
It's a classic,
and it was a pretty good trailer, too.
Yeah.
Like, everything leading up to it was legit. And then it just happened to you, and you were like, Oh, God.
The trade finish.
Oh, God.
It's the crawl. Really, if you look back at it, it's the crawl.
As soon as the opening crawl comes out.
Oh, Trade Federation.
Right, midichlorians? Yeah. Like, yeah. What the hell is he talking about? See, now, here's the thing, too.
Then it was just like...
Okay, so here's... you were in high school when Menace came out. So I am maybe 10 years older than you guys or something.
A significant amount older than us, 12
years
older,
yeah. I'm like the wise Jedi right now. I'm the Jedi, and you're the... Thanks, man. Truly is my favorite of the three, you assholes. I'll say that right now.
Hey, Jericho's handsome. Jericho's a pretty guy.
You missed your chance.
The Rock, but I'll do the best I can.
You blew it.
We got a team. Okay, so here's the thing. So when I grew up with Star Wars, you're a kid. Now, when did you guys see the original Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back,
Return of the Jedi? I was told I saw Jedi in theater in 83.
How old were you then? Five?
Two.
Yeah. Jedi was my first.
But yeah, no, I distinctly watching them on CBS. CBS, play, like in 1986, they played them like... Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Okay, so you guys saw them long before the Phantom Menace came out.
Oh, yeah.
So you guys grew up with Star Wars as well.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So, okay, so when you watch, let's say, because Phantom Menace, there's a lot of shit in there.
Bad,
stilted dialogue. But can we agree it's also like that in Star Wars as well?
Oh, yeah, there's...
Mark Hamill's performance in Star Wars is really bad.
And Carrie Fisher and Harrison Ford actually have some personality. Harrison Ford in particular was like, hey, George, thanks, but
I got it.
Yeah.
Hamill
got better. I think they all... Well, because Lucas didn't officially direct the Empire.
Good
the
call.
Empire
it was Erwin Kirshner, dude.
And he didn't do Jedi either.
Richard Donner.
A guy named Richard Dawson.
That would be awesome if Richard Dawson. Yeah.
He's just touching them.
Let's go to the lightsaber. Yeah.
Just a lightsaber with a big pinky ring. That'd be amazing.
Giant comb.
The host of The Running Man directing Return of the Jedi would be great. It was a guy named Richard Marquand. He didn't do a whole lot else, but he did.
I knew there was a Richard in there somewhere.
But I think everybody, by the time they were like, look, there's something clearly here with Star Wars and everybody loves it. So, George, just, like,
step
great
off.
Idea.
Yeah.
We got it.
I think he even knew that, too. Like, and you can look, see, I'm not good at this.
And you can see Ewan McGregor doing the same thing in the prequels, too. By the time we get to the third prequel, Ewan McGregor is doing the same thing. You wrote these stupid words.
I'm going to make
humans can't, we're not designed to say these words out loud. But I'm going to at least look good in this beard and mullet.
So. And put a little charm on it.
Yeah, he put a little stink on it.
Poor Hayden Christensen didn't learn a lesson.
He never had
terrible, right? Just a terrible,
was
terrible
it,
choice.
Well, what a terrible way to be, like, totally introduced to, like, all of these people.
To humanity.
To the world. Yeah, to humanity, exactly. As one of the biggest characters of all time.
Like, he was in a really good movie I like called Shattered Glass. Granted, he was playing a whiny, like, the most whiny person in the world, whinier than Anakin. So
that's
like,
impossible. I hate them, I killed them.
Shattered Glass, I love that movie, but it's like, he's good in that. Like, he plays like a good sociopath.
So, but did Lucas direct all three of the prequels?
Yes.
Wow. See, now that's the problem. It's like the Emperor has no clothes.
Right.
Someone had to step in and say, this isn't good.
Yeah.
Well, because, he got no notes either.
Like, yeah, he well, because they were independent films.
Yeah.
For all intents and purposes. Yeah, it was all Lucas film stuff.
So he completely in charge.
All those C-3PO money.
People complain about notes and
sweet
stuff.
Toy money.
People complain about notes and stuff. Yeah. But, like, sometimes notes are good.
Yeah.
Well, especially in something like that. Because, like you mentioned, I've forgotten that he didn't direct...
Empire, Return of the Jedi, 5 and 6, 2 and 3,
whatever it may be. And that's when they started getting really good. And plus, too, like I said, you mentioned Mark Hamill getting better. By the time Jedi came around, he was like killer. He was the kick-ass Jedi.
Well, he was there. He was doing like
yeah,
he
was,
knew
he
what
became,
he was doing by
he
that
became
point,
what Luke. And maybe, you know, maybe that was part of the arc. Let's say Hamill was a Shakespearean thespian.
He's won a Tony since.
So maybe he played it that way. Maybe he played it as a whiny guy, knowing because were all three of them written. Did they know there was going to be three? No.
Well, what's amazing is if you go back and watch like some of the behind the scenes stuff from A New Hope, from the original Star Wars, everybody on set like hated George Lucas. Yeah. Everybody thought this was the dumbest thing they'd ever been a part
of.
Like they put it together in editing, down to the crew. Like the crew was making fun of, like actively making fun of George Lucas during the filming.
In what way?
Because he was such a nerd.
And everybody was like, this is dumb.
And like he's
the
just
production
this,
was hell.
He had
like,
it all.
Hated
yeah.
it.
I mean, he had it all in his head, and it all came together. And because at the time, nobody did. Orchestral scores anymore,
mm-hmm.
like and so John Williams doing the score was like sort of a different. It was sort of a different deal. Like people didn't do that anymore, and so it was like He had it all in his head past. How he wanted it to be in the end, and it turned out everybody loved it. But in like when they were shooting, people were like mean to George Lucas.
Fox was like, "Look, here, yeah. Oh, you want the sequel? Cool. I don't give a shit. Yeah, well, you know,
just forget it, right?" Because I remember Carrie Fisher even said, like, you know, saying some of this dialogue, you feel like a total moron.
Yeah,
because it's so stupid.
Well, and even when you get into Empire and Return of the Jedi, like those are better movies, but like they're still saying all the stupid, like they're. Everything is every line of dialogue is like a reason for that existing in the world. Like it's all exposition that doesn't have any grounding in reality.
It's like when Vince McMahon writes a promo for you. It's like no one would ever say, no one ever calls someone platypus dung.
Yeah,
what are you talking about? They totally would.
I would.
Yeah, I would. So it kind of came through that way. But the amazing thing is though, when you watch Star Wars in 2015, now almost 40 years old, it still holds up across the board, special effects wise. You know, character development, all that sort of stuff. It still looks and plays great.
The only stuff that doesn't hold up is the mid-1990s special edition.
The special editions don't hold up.
Yeah. Well, when he did the director's cut,
in the special editions, when he went back and added like all the effects. And like there's the Jabba scene in A New Hope.
The special effect, the lasers.
The lasers look a little better. Yeah. The worst thing, that was also back, remember in the mid-90s when every big explosion had to have like a ring come out? Like, it had to have like this nuclear blast radiated. Like Independence Day had a big one at the end. That was the thing. We got to have, so he went back and added one of those to the Death Star blowing up. And
just so ridiculous. You think, I mean, obviously, I guess it's his movie. He can do what he wants. But okay, like I've painted the Mona Lisa and 30 years later, I'm going to go back and, you know, put a grandma mustache on her because that's the way it should have been.
I think he just doesn't have any other ideas.
Well, also,
he's just going to keep futzing with the one good one he had.
I think he hated the originals. I think
he never stopped changing it.
I think he was like, what I did was shit because he's a type of person who just can't be happy and hates himself.
Mm-hmm. That sounds familiar.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm look. Look,
how could you possibly recognize that, Nick?
I'm adding special effects and explosions to nothing to report right now.
Exactly. To his life. He's going back right now.
No. That's why he had to get married twice.
You shut up, you idiot.
I'm booked for the third one, don't forget. Go ahead, Stanley.
No, I think I don't think he was ever happy. I think the only time he was able to let go was like, here, Disney, take it from me because I'm gonna keep fucking it up.
Let's talk about this. A lot of people say, like, what do you think the new movie is going to be like? You don't want to see the trailer because you're scared.
Yeah.
What do you guys think?
Look, I'll be totally honest. I got chills watching that little teaser they put out.
when it comes out and he goes, Chewie, we're home.
Yeah.
I wrote on Twitter, that's the most inspirational and anticipated trailer I've ever seen in my life.
It was like, amazing. Goosebumps. And I kind of hated myself for that because it was like instantly like nostalgia was just like tick, 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 tick. And I was just like,
let it be known, okay. I'm closing my ears right now. No, I think...
this is brother Jan Solo shows up and says that, by the way, right. Just so you know.
That's from the extended...
Bill Pullman is in the movie now.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. So I mean, because a lot of people are scared. And my opinion is, there is no way that they would make this if it wasn't going to be good, especially if J.J. Abrams
involved. I already wholeheartedly disagree with that.
Okay, tell me.
It's Disney. It's a giant studio. They paid bajillions of dollars to get all of the Lucasfilm rights.
They spent $4 billion.
They're going to run everything they possibly can into the ground, and hopefully it works out.
But with J.J. Abrams involved, don't you think that's a secret?
Well, they're hedging 50-50.
They're certainly hedging their bets.
They're trying. Like, they're trying to make good movies.
And also,
there was no way that they were never going to not make this movie. Like, even if it turned out bad, they were never going to not make a new Star Wars.
But also, how crazy that J.J. Abrams is running Star Wars and Star Trek. It's like he's playing guitar for the Beatles and the Stones at the same time.
Yeah, it's really unfair.
It kind of is, right? He's like the monopoly of the market.
I think he's stepped away from Star Trek now.
I've never been a big Trek fan, but from what I'm told by other Trekkies, like the version of Star Trek that he made was more Star Wars than Star Trek anyway.
You've never seen the two Star Trek movies that J.J. did?
No, I've seen them. Okay. Yeah. I like them a lot.
Yeah, they're really good.
I never liked Star Trek, and maybe that's why I like these more than I like, you know, previous Star Trek, but because they're more Star Wars than Star Trek anyway.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Don't fail me again, Admiral.
All right, let's get back to the Star Wars Symposium with Team Tiger Awesome, Clint Gage, Michael Truly, and Nick Mundy.
So the thing is, too, though, like with Disney getting these movies now, I mean, I think it's a great idea because, like you mentioned, Lucas had kind of hit the end of his rope. And now they can do what James Bond has done for 50, 60 years. They can make Star Wars movies forever.
Yeah.
You know.
Which every, is good every and year. Bad. I get the idea of, like, maybe this is just my issue with shared universes in general. Make the first one. Let's see if it's good. Instead of trying to make four other spinoffs right now.
Are they already doing that?
I think that's unfair, because we know the Star Wars universe is generally good and well thought out to some extent.
And has an enormous following.
Like, theoretically, this first movie doesn't have to be good for Rogue One to be good.
Yeah. I mean, and to your point, they've already made six others. And gobs of other expanded universe stuff. So it's like we know that it's good. Like I understand that argument for like that last Dracula movie they made.
Oh, yeah.
Like don't talk about making four Dracula movies with Luke Evans before you make the first one. Right. You know, but
it's the Star Wars universe, and the thing is, there's so much material over the years from all the books that have been written.
Well, they got rid of that. Do you know that?
What do you mean?
Like, I mean, I read a lot of those extended universe books in high school.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they got, like, as soon as...
They stopped publishing them?
No, they still make new ones, but, like, they were like, hey, all the video games you played, all the books you read, all the comic books that were part of, quote, the extended universe, yeah, they don't count anymore.
Oh, we're not doing that.
They had this whole... They had, like, assembled a team at Disney with... I don't know, I can't remember who officially it was, but it was, like, a lot of Lucasfilm people that have been here for... You know, since way back, they all got together and like established a new canon.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were like, all the books, they don't count anymore. Anything that happened prior to Return of the Jedi or something, I don't know.
You also got to be a real hardcore Star Wars fan to even know that. Like, I am a huge Star Wars fan, but I've never watched any of that. I watched the Clone Wars because my son was watching it.
That's a good
cartoon
show.
Movie.
That's still
a good show. Great show. Yeah. My point is, here's the thing, because I was asking Kevin Smith this when we were talking about Marvel movies. Why are there so many Marvel movies? But from what he said, this might not be verbatim, but Sony bought the rights to Marvel. And in that deal, they have to make two Marvel movies a year to retain the rights. So you could see them doing two Star Wars movies a year with just different characters within the universe. Why not?
Well, that's the plan. Is like there's the main... What do they call it? The main saga movies?
The Skywalker movies.
Which follow the Skywalker family.
Right, right.
And then there's the spin-off movies that it's going to be the Rogue One and it's going to be the young Han Solo. And
that to me is cool because how much of a backstory is there Solo before you even see him? Why was he on the run from Jabba?
Well, the cool thing is the director, the guys who did the Jump Street.
Lord Miller.
Mm-hmm. Lord and Miller, the guys who did the Phil Jump Lord Street movies and the Lego movies are doing
and
Han Solo.
The rumor that Chris Pratt is going to be Han Solo.
I don't think it's going to be. I think
there's also the
young.
Rumor that Chris Pratt was going to be Indiana Jones.
Hey,
the point is, like, Disney
both.
Loves Chris Pratt, so they're going to
put
him in something.
Who also is both Han Solo and Indiana Jones.
Yeah. So now Chris Pratt is going to be regarding Henry, too.
Air Force One.
I don't care. He's also Tommy Lee Jones.
He's also Air Force One.
Who's that? The fugitive? Yeah, the one-armed man.
Get off my plane.
they could technically continue to do that, and it's a great idea for Lucas to finally let go, because if not, they would have ended.
And I think that's also too, like, why everybody feels good about Star Wars again, because we know Lucas is hands on. Like, even people at Disney have been like, yeah, Lucas is still he's a consultant. That was air quotes, by the way.
Nice.
He's a consultant, he knows what deal he signed.
So
it's like even the people at Disney are kind of badass about how they're like, yeah, he's gone. Don't worry about it.
Well, I'd keep him around. He's had seven. I mean,
he's an EP on it or something. I think. And that's the thing. Every one of the Star Wars movies, even Phantom Menace, had the amazing pod race sequence. I mean, there were some great pieces in every one.
Stepping
back, still retained
like
some of the magic.
No. Stepping back, no. Like, there's nothing redeeming out of any of the prequels.
The pod race is great.
It goes on. It was two minutes long.
The pod race is the highlight of that movie.
Now, here's the thing.
More than the lightsaber duel at the end?
That's great, too. That's great, too.
Which is not as long as you remember.
No, it's not, because it's cut together really with, like, four other battles.
Which movie do you hate the most?
I gotta go with Menace.
I think they got better as they went along.
See, I think they got worse.
I'm gonna go with Attack of the Clones, honestly.
No, Attack of the Clones. The second one. Is that the is that where the gladiator fight within the gladiator arena? That was great.
Well, honestly, like I got the opening action sequence where they're like chasing that bounty hunter around.
Oh yeah, with the death sticks.
Whatever. Yeah,
that
was great. It made me physically ill.
Why?
We were at that. I had to leave the theater
because it's so like the flying
it was just
and everything.
Obnoxious.
Or you just hated it so much.
A little of both.
I hated the third one the most because it's like okay, it's been 10 years and 3 movies, and you still can't make a good one.
Yeah. Now what happened? Was the centerpiece of the third one? Now, the big clone,
the lava fight. We're supposed to be brothers.
Oh yeah, yeah. The lava fight at the end,
and then him like killing Samuel L. Jackson, and then all of a sudden he's like, look, I'll just do what you say, and then I'll kill a bunch of children.
Yeah, that's cool. True.
Yeah, they really, like, if the whole prequels were supposed to get this little boy to turn into Darth Vader, they fast-forwarded it over the most important parts of that transition.
Good call.
Like, it was just like, hey, kid, whatever, ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha, evil. Mm-hmm. Like, it was, I guess he was in love there for a second, but yeah,
with some horrible effects
in
all
in that one scene.
Oh yeah,
terrible stop motion Ray Harryhausen effects for no reason. Like I said, the Star Wars effects from Industrial Light and Magic, the first movie, still hold up to this day. And then was it the second one? They're on the Banthas or whatever, and it's so bad stop motion. Looks like me when I was a kid making movies with my dolls.
Well, here's the crazy thing. So in Attack of the Clones, this is really nerdy. When Attack of the Clones and the third one, they use
which was Revenge of the Sith.
They use 1080p. HD cameras, which are on, which was, you can shoot video on your iPhone now. That's it's better. The same resolution.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. The new iPhones shoot in a higher resolution than what was shot in Attack of the Clones and
Revenge. Yeah, that was the other thing, because Lucas really bet on the wrong horse in the digital filmmaking arena.
As far as
the
cameras he used? Yeah. So it just looks bad?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's just, it looks
our camera was
terrible.
Better. Like,
and the critically acclaimed Nothing to Report available now.
Our camera right now.
You ask anybody in Luxembourg, and they will tell you that our series looks better.
The cinematography was chez Lafique, which is Luxembourgian for unbelievable.
Sure. Yeah.
We could go get some GoPros, and it does better. Like, the same resolution.
So let me say this, though. Okay, so having Clint has a child, but I have three kids now, and they were about 2 or 3 years ago finally started getting to the Star Wars trip. So they were about 9 and 10 and 7 and 8, around that age. Basically the same age that I was when I started watching. Because I remember going to the first Star Wars with my mom at the King's Theater in Winnipeg because my friend Scott Shipham had a birthday party, but I wasn't allowed to go. And the birthday party...
Scott's a bad egg.
And you're still mad about it.
And my mom was like, oh, really? You're not invited? We're going anyways. And my mom took me to the King's Theater.
Oh, he didn't invite you.
He didn't invite me. She's like, all right.
Okay, well, what's he doing? Nice. Call him up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. F him.
He's not in Culver City, in my house.
in the Mundy Mansion, as we like to call it. But so I grew up with these movies like we talked about earlier and have very fond memories of them. Now, with my kids watching, I made them watch – I think we started with just Star Wars just to see what it was like. And then we went and watched them 1 through 6.
Oh, wow.
Menace through Jedi.
Yeah.
Now, when you're watching them through a child's eyes, if the first one you've ever seen is Menace, it's pretty badass.
Well, that's why, you know, that's why I mean? It's not my least favorite of – the original prequel. It's I don't like it, but it's not the one that I hate the most because there's an excuse for it. It's a kids movie.
But wasn't Jedi a kids movie as well?
I mean, that's what I think. I think that where people start getting mad at George Lucas starts with the Ewoks.
Yeah, I don't get that.
I don't either.
Never had a
I always I didn't either. But because the
I'll tell you where you have the problem here. And here's a little Star Wars trivia. Did you know that the Endor was supposed to be a Wookiee planet?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And he changed it to make Ewoks,
right,
to make toys for Burger King Happy Meals and to sell them at Toys R Us, etc.
They shot it.
Listen, let me tell you a little thing here.
They shot it up in the Muir Woods up north of San Francisco.
Oh, really?
Essentially because he wanted to shoot it in his backyard because they shot an Empire Strikes Back like all over the planet.
Yeah, like in like England.
So he's like, no, we're just going to do this out here.
Yeah, I got the landscapers coming. Yeah,
exactly.
But so even back then, he was still doing it as a kid's movie.
They're all been kids' movies.
Well, and even look at the deal that he made to get Star Wars made originally. Like, he signed, he was like, you don't have to pay me much, but I'm going to keep all of the licensing rights for toys and everything. So he knew exactly what he was doing from the beginning with making it a kids' movie.
Mm-hmm.
And he still owned those rights when he made Return of the Jedi and like, oh, Ewoks are cuddly little things that kids are going to love and I'm going to
sell a million. That's right. Exactly. Because and also, too, once again, I remember my mom bought me Luke Skywalker and Chewbacca. And the first time you'd ever seen action figures. Before that, it was the big, tall G.I. Joes.
The
with
Mego
that
ones, yeah.
Yeah, me would actually had beards on them and that sort of thing. And
like
these
men.
Were These are the little, you know, 6-inch toys. And that's the first thing I remember. And suddenly there's this whole slew of copies where every movie now has toys. The Black Hole and Battlestar Galactica and, you know, The Last Starfighter. You don't care about any of those
and
ones.
And you.
Oh, I do you still have those Last Starfighter toys? Because I'll take them.
No, my mom sold them all in a garage.
Of course she did. Yeah, everybody's mom does.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm talking every one of them.
Baseball
I had them all.
Cards and collectible toys. Well, they all.
So whoever went to the garage sale at 119 Wordsworth Way in Winnipeg, Manitoba and bought all my Star Wars dolls, you are a son of a bitch.
If you're listening right now, I'll take those Last Starfighter dolls. Yeah. Mail them to Nick's house.
Look, I need some Mark McGuire rookie cards. Now, so you showed your kids 1 through 6?
Right, in order. And obviously, they all hated Empire Strikes Back. Really? As they should.
It's the most grown up of all of them.
It's the middle story of the three where the heels just...
It's a downer.
It's heel, heat, finish, 1, 2, 3, get the hell out of here. Yeah. That's Strikes Back. That's why it works so well. You know, yeah. I remember walking out of being so sad.
Well, I like Darth Vader's face turn at the in Jedi, though, when he been.
You're just going to throw around some wrestling terms?
Yeah, no, we're doing it.
No, but that's the epitome of what wrestling is. It's a morality play of good versus evil.
I mean, here's the crazy thing. I have a feeling that the prequels are going to get retconned, thrown out completely when the new movies come out.
How do you mean? They're not.
I think they're going to ignore them. Borderline.
You're talking about Phantom Menace through.
Yeah. Or to the point of possibly like, look, that didn't happen.
No, I really doubt that. I highly doubt that. Partially because like the audience that this new Star Wars seems to be aimed at is one, like the older people, and two, like the kids that came up with Jar Jar Binks. Like they like Jar Jar Binks. They like what those prequels are. Like that to them is Star Wars. They're not going to throw that out.
Then I think they're just going to ignore it.
Well, but the other thing, like you can, you know. Ignoring it is one thing, but it happened in the context of Star Wars in that world. It happened so long ago that it's not like people are going to be running around talking
like
about it anyway.
The more recent films are Jedi, Empire,
and
Star Wars.
And we know that Han Solo is going to be in there. We know all the original cast is going to be there. So it's like those are the events.
That pod race 300 years ago?
Yeah.
Whatever.
Exactly. Well, no, but I mean the fans were freaking out like when... I guess in the teaser, it was the Thanksgiving trailer. I didn't see it, but...
it was so good.
No, but when they revealed that the black guy is a stormtrooper?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
the
just...
The sweaty black guy. He's
that's
sweaty.
That's internet racism, though.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. That's what they were like, wait, he doesn't look like a clone. He doesn't look like
but
a clone.
But he's also not going to be a... Do you... Can I even talk about this?
Yes, you can. Just everyone listening has seen the prequel or the trailer, or else they're not listening.
He's not even a stormtrooper. He's like one of those. He's like one of these Knights of the First Order or something, or whatever it's
like a low level Jedi.
Well, it's a new because the Empire is sort of on the run, and there's a different Empire, Empire Light, I guess, that's rising up, and it's like the New Order, I think, is what it's called. So
Wolfpack Empire.
There's the Empire Hollywood.
The LWL. Yeah, the LWE, the Lucha World Empire.
But so he's not a clone of Jango Fett, if that's what you're mad about.
No, people were mad about that.
Well, it's not the case at all, so shut up.
Well, right. I'm not.
Shut up, people.
Shut up.
No, but there's a couple things in the trailer.
I will strangle you with this microphone cord.
When the you couldn't reach. Your arms are too short.
get Jericho.
Kill me first, right. When the lightsaber comes up, I remember like on Phantom Menace when there was the double-sided lightsaber. It was so cool. And this one, there's like the cross lightsaber. It goes, and then it goes across like the handle. So it looks like a giant broadsword.
Right.
That's pretty cool.
Oh, I love it.
In 10 years, they're going to do a rectangle and just blow everyone's mind.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, it'd be like a lasso lightsaber. Yeah.
No, that was they did that in Johnny Mnemonic, so they really shouldn't do that again.
You guys
remember Johnny Mnemonic?
He had that laser.
Can I derail this for a second?
Johnny Mnemonic? Is that with Keanu Reeves?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, one of the bad guys, like the main henchman, had like this
in his
weird
head?
Yeah. He had basically the size of my Rio MP3 player from college. You know, he had that laser thing that he would like spread out and then like lasso people and then would like slice them in half.
Awesome. Laser whip.
Okay.
So imagine good. Imagine a world.
Okay. Let's go back to
world.
Star Wars.
No, hold on. Imagine a world where Johnny Mnemonic was as popular as The Matrix. And they did Matrix. Like they did two more sequels.
Matrix Mnemonic.
There's one of the alternate realities.
Honestly, somebody's going to remake Johnny Mnemonic.
Mnemonic.
Because it's so fucking bonkers.
Yeah.
See, I've never seen that.
Oh man, there's like a dolphin that like communicates from like a tank that I think is like everybody's.
I think he's like the Quato of Johnny Mnemonic. Yeah, It's basically Keanu Reeves is a courier with a hard drive in his head.
Well, it's basically what the Matrix is, though, isn't it?
No. No, because he's real.
Okay,
look, so I don't, look,
he's like a robot guy.
This is not a good thing to talk about.
But let's move out of the mon. I think the box office was about $12 million.
Let's talk about Star
Let's stop here. Nothing. Brilliant casting, or whatever. Having Mark Hamill, Carrie Fisher, and Harrison Ford. I mean, that seals the deal. People will go. This will be the biggest movie of all time just because they're in it, and everyone wants to go see what happens.
Also, because prequels are always terrible, except for Godfather 2.
Interesting.
That wasn't really a prequel.
Yeah, but so most prequels
That was a sequel that had flashbacks.
Yeah, it's not so, okay, then every prequel is terrible.
Is every prequel terrible? Let's think of a prequel that's
The Hobbit was pretty bad.
Planet of the Apes movies.
The Planet of the Apes movies are good.
Would you count that?
Are they prequels? Yes. Yeah, they are, because they're going from the 60s Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, well, I guess technically the first, and I get them mixed up because it's Dawn was the first remake that they made recently.
Yes.
And then Rise was the most recent.
Rise.
The other way around.
Rise was first, and Dawn.
They got them. They screwed them up. Yeah, they got them wrong, whichever one it is. But the James Franco one is technically a prequel, and then the what's her name from that show, Felicity. The Felicity one is
Kate Hudson.
No, Felicity. Yeah, you guys.
Felicity
know
McGee.
About.
I think
that one is technically not a prequel because that one happens after Charlton Heston is theoretically shot into space.
All right. What about Indiana Jones?
Again, none of this matters.
What about Temple of Doom?
Temple of Doom is
That's
sort of
a prequel,
prequel
for Raiders of the Lost Ark, is it not? Right.
No, I would say that one sucks because that to me ruins one of the best part of Raiders of the Lost Ark.
What?
Because in Raiders of the Lost Ark, he has this line where he's talking about I can't remember anybody's name right now. It's driving me crazy. Marcus. Marcus is warning him about going after the Grail.
Yeah.
The Ark. And he has this great line about, like, I don't believe in all that hocus pocus.
Oh, yeah,
man,
that mumbo jumbo, yeah.
And then Temple of Doom takes place 5 years prior to that when he sees, like, a guy remove a heart via magic.
Yeah.
And he's like, what do you mean you don't believe in that stuff? Why don't
you
believe in that
stuff? Well, maybe he saw it and didn't believe it.
So maybe there's another prequel where he gets amnesia. Yeah,
that's probably it. He had a psychological block after that.
I suppose that's fair.
So, no, I always thought...
Denholm Elliott. That's Marcus right
there. You go.
I was like, who cares about
Marcus.
Prequels? I always wish there were sequels. I always thought that was more interesting.
You want the more after the fact.
Yeah. If it's a good story, keep it going.
Well, here's the thing. So I had heard, and you guys probably know this too, that Harrison Ford wanted to die in Return of the Jedi. He wanted Han Solo to die in Jedi, but Lucas would say, absolutely not. He's dying in this.
Oh, yeah.
Like, no doubt about it.
I would like to think so, yes.
And I think he should die. I think it's good.
Yeah.
I think Harrison Ford wants to die. Just based on all history.
He keeps crashing his plane.
Yeah, he just doesn't seem like a really happy fellow.
Must die. He apparently is the worst interview, but Chris Hardwick thinks he does it on purpose. He just gets a kick out of himself.
Like, I think Robert De Niro does the same thing too, Bruce Willis.
Yeah,
like,
watch me get these guys, just be the worst, you know? But so in the storyline, I don't know if this is true or not, but one of the other ideas is that Han and Leia have twins. Mm-hmm. And one goes on to be a Jedi Master, and the other goes to be like a Lord of the Sith.
Well, the rumor
that was in the books, but it might be.
Yeah, that was what
Jaina
and Jason, yeah, something like that.
Right,
that would be something that would be worth keeping.
You know, but it's the girl that turns into the evil Lord of the Sith.
Yeah, the rumor is it's the Kylo Ren, the Adam Driver character, and what's her name, Rey, I think is what they're calling her. The girl who's we never heard of before and got cast in the movie.
Oh, like that's
apparently they're rumored to be the brother and sister, the Solo kids.
Okay, so what if this evil sister, the evil twin, kills her father, being Han Solo?
That's true.
What a heel!
Leia and Han Solo are terrible parents.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, like, here's the thing though. If the Force is awakening, what are they going to do about it?
Right. What do you say?
Yeah,
it's like worse than puberty.
Force woke up. Shit's going down.
Worse than puberty.
It's
like Damien Omen too.
I do like that this title. I was like, The Force Awakens. Okay, I can understand what that means. Like, not.
What does it mean?
Well, like.
Yeah, because I was going to follow up with that same question.
The Force
just
is
to see you answer.
Like, the Force is like.
Force is away. We're up and at them. Wake up and smell the coffee, Force.
It's better than just like the straightforward attack the clones.
Right.
Attack the clones.
Phantom Menace. Which I still don't know. What was the Phantom Menace?
The Emperor.
Midichlorians?
Yeah, no, yeah. Well, the Senator.
Wait, I thought it was the trade embargo.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No. Didn't you read The Crawl?
Yeah, did you?
The trade federation.
Okay, here's the thing. The Boo had tax issues with the trade federation.
And those guys were so offensive.
So how did you like this movie as a strapping young lad when the very first thing, and they land on the planet, and the choice of the movie makers is that Obi-Wan, who's the only cool character in the movie, stays on the ship, and Jar Jar, who's the worst character in the movie, goes and
it was the Nemoidians. It was as soon as I heard them talk, I was like, oh god damn it.
The who's?
The Trade Federation.
Trade Federation,
or like the guys,
like,
with the word bad Asian accents?
Yeah, I was like, oh god damn it.
Maybe we'll come for Dr. Jones. Yeah. Watch out, watch out, lady, we go for a ride.
Laser swords.
What does he say?
Laser swords. Send out the droid to calls.
But I wanted to fly in a spaceship.
If that's your offensive Asian accent, I'm not worried about actually
more like
offending
Basil
you.
Fawlty.
Okay, yeah. Okay, good, because I was really trying not to be offensive. I was just trying to be offensive to Nemoidians.
Okay,
yeah,
that's
but
fair.
That was the one, well, not the one. One of many things about the movie that people didn't like was that there was a lot of racial stereotypes. Like the Nemoidians had the Asian thing, and the Jar Jar Binks was like a Rastafarian guy. Gungans, there's like a, the guy who's running the markets, like a Jewish guy.
Yeah.
And then you watch it, and it's really true.
Oh yeah.
They're painted with broad brushes, to be sure.
Yeah. Like, yeah. What's the one, the guy who's flying, who's like the
I don't remember anything that he said.
He's more of like a Middle Eastern type guy.
Yeah.
Anakin, why don't you go get the star?
What are you, a Jedi? You can't use tricks on me.
It was probably the one like pawn shop George Lucas went into one time. That's what he based it off of.
I'm just glad there was like an Al Jolson battle droid.
Yeah,
who was
right.
You're
talking about a battle droid in blackface?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which would be awesome, by the way. That should be real.
Well, C-3PO was always like...
He was an English butler.
Yeah.
Nothing really offensive about that.
It's like
Mr. Belvedere with
chrome. He was 70s British porny boy.
He was a dandy.
Porny boy?
Party boy.
He's a porny boy. That's what you kind of said.
Yeah, I kind of said that.
I'd like to know what a porny boy is.
Depends on how many...
I know what a party boy is.
Depends on how many ports he's got.
Maybe they're kind of the same thing.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
All right, let's get back to the Star Wars Symposium with Team Tiger Awesome, Clint Gage, Michael Trulli, and Nick Mundy.
I'm Solo. I'm Captain of the Millennium Falcon.
So let's talk about when we were growing up and how much Star Wars meant to you. So you guys watched these movies when you were kids. So was your group, was your gang, like was everyone into Star Wars? Did you guys discover it at the same time?
I didn't have a single Trekkie friend. Everybody was, because it was always Star Wars or Star Trek.
Friends, right.
Yeah, so everybody was a Star Wars
fan.
Well,
the thing about Star Wars,
none of my friends were Trekkies.
And I'm using 80s terms and groupings, but, like, everyone likes Star Wars. My dad loves Star Wars. My brother likes Star Wars. They've never seen a Star Trek movie, but
right.
I think Star Wars has always transcended socio and economic groups. It's just not nerds. It's not just for nerds.
Right. Okay.
But Star Trek is.
Star Trek was more
of a TV thing that continued forward, where Star Wars was an actual cinematic phenomenon that changed changed the whole course of movies.
Yeah.
Right?
I just don't ever remember not knowing all of the Star Wars movies.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they've just always been in my head. Like, I don't know how young I was when I first sat down in front of one, but... by the time the special editions came out in, the mid-90s, we were, early teens, I guess?
Yeah, I was at high school.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. By the time those came around, I couldn't wait for them.
See, because that's what's interesting to me, because growing up, like I said, in 77, I was I 6 years old, and then 80, when Empire came out, I was 9, and then 83, I was 12. So and all the gang is like, oh, it's coming out. So when you grew up, when the movie's already out, did you, hey, man, I got this. Have you ever seen Star Wars? No, I haven't seen it. Come on
Everybody
over.
Everyone knew it.
Oh, no, I watched Star Wars. Oh, okay, me too.
Yeah, it's just a thing.
It's like, what do you want to do? I guess we could watch Star Wars again.
Yeah.
Right.
It was just because we all had three separate copies of it on VHS. I bought the trilogy or was gifted the trilogy for, my uncle got it for me for Christmas or something.
Yeah.
Enough times to where I had four or five copies of each of the movies. Just
there was
around.
The box set. There was individual ones, and then the DVDs come out.
The ones
and then
you
this,
never returned to Blockbuster. Like,
you didn't rewind, and that's a whole.
Well,
other
also
thing.
There was a lot less like Blockbuster movies out in our generation. There was Jurassic Park.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like the next big Blockbuster was.
Well, yeah. Now every studio's got to have like, you know, five. Two Blockbusters a quarter.
Well, yeah.
So
or two of these big action movies.
The
a quarter.
Event film is a different thing.
Yeah, because that was
used to be.
Plus, there were like a lot of video games coming out with Star Wars that were pretty good. That got like
So just part of the whole universe at this point. Yeah. Did you guys dress up as Star Wars guys for Halloween, or did you have did you guys get the action figures? Like, how far did it go?
Well, yeah, I didn't start collecting the action figures till embarrassingly I was like 16.
Oh,
until Phantom Menace.
Yeah, well, before that, the special editions.
Yeah,
because they came out with the new toys. Like, I really got into Star Wars hard. Again, when I was like 15, 16 years old.
So right. Now it's becoming something that like late teens, early adults, whereas when it started, it was more of just a kids thing.
It's like, yeah, well, and I think
the people that grew up like your age just grew up with it, and then it just recycles. I mean, you just see it as a kid, and then you just keep watching it.
To be honest, our generation, I'm not, because I was born the year before Return of the Jedi came out, so I never Special Editions was the first time I saw it on the big screen, and I'm a little surprised at the fact that our generation is as big into Star Wars as we are, because I feel like we weren't old enough to see it in the theaters.
Yeah,
and we were just young enough to see it. I guess HBO was coming out right about the right,
so probably on
at
that,
the right
at the time.
So maybe,
well,
yeah,
but again,
maybe cable TV did it or
it
something.
Was the Super
but
Nintendo
it's,
games too that were hugely
yeah,
popular,
yeah,
and, the,
a great game.
And the video the comic books were big. And the books.
Yeah. It just became part of the pop culture universe. If you were into any type of comic books or pop culture, you knew what Star Wars was and kind of into it. So what were your favorite movies of the first three? Of the first three, meaning Star Wars, Empire, and Jedi.
Right.
I'll always go back to the first one.
A New Hope?
Yeah. No, the first one.
Yeah. Phantom Menace? See, that's where it gets confusing.
Yeah. It's just Star Wars. I like Star Wars.
Just Star Wars.
Yeah, 77 Star Wars.
Yeah.
Right.
No, it's great. I still watch it, you know. Have it on iTunes now.
What's your favorite scene from it?
I think the scene that used to scare me as a kid was the trash compactor.
Still a great scene.
Yeah, that was,
still
that
holds
was
up.
Super pulpy.
Oh, yeah. But
just
that was
like trapped in there, like everything is shrinking down, and there's a weird...
Is there like a snake in there?
Snake
there's a weird
thing.
Eyeball monster down there. Yeah.
It doesn't really want to do anything. Because at the end, it's going like me 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 me.
My favorite scene.
Well,
and
it
I'm
takes
like,
off because it's about the whole room's about to get crushed.
Oh, so it's
so it's like I'm out of here. Yeah.
Is there like a hole in the?
Yeah, yeah. You hear like a door open and close. And
you do?
Like, yeah, yeah. There's like this big metal scraping sound right before the thing. Come on, man. Have you seen these movies?
Well, yeah. Well, so you're saying that he opened up his escape hatch?
Yeah,
and the
he
guy
he got out of there when they're about to.
I've never noticed that before.
Snake that lives in there and then it like leaves. It's like, oh, they're gonna come. Packed everything. I guess
better get out of here so I don't get all squished.
My favorite scene in all the Star Wars is I've always liked this scene since I was a kid because it seemed like, wait, that's weird. That probably shouldn't have made it in there.
What?
But it's when Han Solo's like on the control board and Luke is rescuing Leia and like he's like, who is this? Who is this? It's like, oh, everything's fine here. Everything's fine. How are you?
Yeah.
And then that's not verbatim, but like, I was like, oh, that's the funniest thing.
Situation normal.
Yeah.
See, but that's why it works because Harrison Ford is super funny in that. Actually, Carrie Fisher's really funny too in all the movies.
Yeah.
She's very sarcastic and smarmy, you know, and walking carpet and, you know, laugh it up, fuzzball,
she's,
all those
she's
lines.
She's great in Empire.
Oh, Empire's.
She's great in Empire.
In what way?
I mean, because she's a real person.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was. Empire is one of the few that is like, oh, these are real human beings.
They were acting.
Real human emotion. Like, whole, the love story between Han and Leia is like, it works. It's grounded and it works and you buy it. All through Empire. Yeah.
How about when she kisses Luke? Creepy or not?
No, because I still remember seeing that kiss and not knowing that they were brother and sister.
Well, you don't find that out until later.
Right.
That's what I'm saying, though. So you look back
I remember in high school, we had a substitute teacher, like, just phoning it in one day.
We went
so
to
they
bad
played
high school.
Yeah, yeah, they played Star Wars for us one day and we watched it and somebody had never seen it before.
Uh-huh.
And we explained to her that Luke and Leia were actually brother and sister and then that they kissed in Empire Strikes and she flipped out.
Wow.
It was she
Bible
was
Belt
such,
Texas.
She was such a dumb girl. It was you want to do this?
Yeah,
it was Monique.
Yeah. Shout out to Monique.
I bet
if you're
she's
listening. I'm sure she is. You were awful back in the day. Back in the day.
slapped me at a theater tournament one time. She's terrible.
But when you're talking about Empire 2,
that'll be the next podcast. We
about just how sad it is. Like, just everything bad happens. Han goes down into the carbonite, and Luke's hand gets cut off, and Lando turns on them.
But then he does the double face turn.
He does. Yeah. But then it's like it's too late.
Damage is done, man.
No, see, I never thought of Empire as sad. I was like, okay, they got theirs. Let's go get ours. Like,
well, because you had to wait 3 years. See, but you guys can watch it the next day. Yeah. I had to wait 3 years for the thing.
Yeah, I think it's different for us because, like, we were able to consume all three of the movies at the same
time. Yeah, good call.
They were all one thing.
Whereas, like, if you had to wait, that would be the hardest.
Hey, what's up, guy?
You doing a walk?
Are you doing a show right now? What are you doing?
Yeah, we're doing a...
Well, now we're going to have to cut around.
Yeah, yeah, edit it out.
You're making some work for somebody.
Keep going, Truly.
I was just supposed to bring on the cameo. That's what the cards say.
All this is cut out.
No, but you could essentially experience the movies as like a full
binge
trilogy.
Watch it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So there was never like a wait for us. There was never like
whereas for us, seeing that movie in the theater, it was like the end of Seven. Where like Gwyneth Paltrow's head in a box and the lights come on, and everyone's just sitting there going like, "What?"
Now we did have to wait for the prequels, but we were just like, "They better fix it. They better goddamn fix it."
Right, but then
it can't get worse. It can't get worse, can it? God damn it, can it get worse? Can it get worse?
And it can get a lot worse. But that's the thing about those movies. Like, it's interesting to me to kind of go to the different generations when you could just watch it one after another. You know, and the time of like waiting to see what's going to happen. There was so much speculation, and there was no like novels you can read in between. It was basically you watch the movie and then you play Hoth. Because I grew up in Winnipeg,
right?
So when that came out, it was like, "This is awesome!" Like,
that's awesome.
There were a lot of pine trees in the park behind our house. We always played.
Endor?
Yeah, we played Endor.
See, we played Ewoks.
Yeah,
played Ewoks. And that's the thing too. Like, we mentioned the Ewoks, and that's another thing that kind of bugs me. Like, Jedi does not hold up as well as the other two.
I think it does.
See, I was. That was going to be my favorite if we'd have made it around the table to ask which favorite
which we will. And I'm not saying that it can't be.
Spoiler
alert. It can still be.
But just watch yourself.
My point is this, all right? My point is this. You're talking about the evil empire. They've taken over the galaxy. They've built a killing machine Death Star that got blown up, and they're building a bigger, better, crazier one. And a bunch of little teddy bears with sticks are taking out these billion-dollar machines.
It's objectively stupid. I'm not going to argue with that. Like, it really is. The fact that Ewoks can take out... And the Emperor even at one point says, like, an entire legion of my best men. And it's like, so these are literally the Empire's
best men. These are
your
assassins.
Yeah.
These are your snipers.
And then, like, a bunch of little teddy bears with sticks.
Right, like
beat them up. But the Rebels help.
They're pulling the Rambo First Blood, like, you know, tripwire and yikes, I'm pulled up by this lasso by my legs.
No,
yeah,
I think there were a handful of, like, zoinks kind of sound effects that got cut out of the
film. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It'll be in the next special edition. But no, there's something about Return of the Jedi, just the energy of it. Like, the action is sort of more... I think by that point they could film action that was more exciting than they could in this
because
they had the budget and they could have
speeder bikes.
To me, to me,
6 years of technology, which probably was like 100,
and now a budget to like play around with the stuff too. Like, to me, it holds up on a sort of technical level better than some of the others.
With
it's more watchable for me.
What's your favorite, Truly?
I gotta go Empire.
Ooh, that's
we got one of three.
Fun.
It's my favorite as well.
Yeah.
I'll go with
just because I really like the darkness and sort of that shot of Han going into like the carbonite and everything. That's just like etched in my memory.
And also too, talking about, you know, we've talked about some of Lucas's bad dialogue. If he wrote the "I love you," I know that sums up Han Solo. Yeah. Yeah. In a nutshell, that's him. He's just an arrogant prick. Like, yeah, I know.
If he survives the carbon freezing,
I'll see you around. You know what I mean? Like, he's like, "See you later, baby." Yeah. Like, that was really brilliant. That whole scene, like you said, you never forget it.
Yeah.
You know? And just the evil set, like the
just like the lights and like the smoke, everything. Like, I think I had trading cards that were just for that scene.
Yeah.
I don't think I had ever gotten any of the other ones. Or I didn't care about them because I was like, "Oh, the light."
Well,
so,
you got
atmospheric.
You got a pack of like Empire Act 3 trading cards.
I was like, "This is all I want.
It's great. I'm done
with the
Uggs tops.
I just don't eat the gum."
I think I definitely think Empire is the best. It's just not my favorite. And for some reason, I think as a kid, I was so bored by the Dagobah stuff.
Really? Like,
yeah.
Wow.
And I just it didn't register when
the
I was a kid.
The fact is actually learning that
the asteroid stuff. Well,
The asteroid stuff was fun, all the stuff with Luke and Yoda on Dagobah, it just never clicked with me until I got older. So there's part of me that it's like a strike against it in my head for some reason, even though I know it's good.
Especially now when you think of the whole arc of the story, like that's where Luke becomes
a man. Yeah, that's where he starts learning.
You know, and that's such brilliant.
It is weird that everyone shits on the Ewoks, but a Muppet is training Luke, and no one cares.
Yeah, no one cared. Yeah.
Mike Oz did a great job voicing it, and it was like he seemed real.
Yeah.
The Ewoks seemed like teddy
bears.
He was
so wise, and he actually spoke English, which helps.
He was so wise. And the thing is, too, it's funny. Like, you know, like if you look up like Yoda,
that's the most genuine thing.
Tell me he wasn't wise.
If you look up Yoda memes, like everything is like backwards speech. You know, like you know, hell you doing or whatever. He didn't do that much. It's just once in a while, little sprinkles of it. But in our minds, we're remembering him as just everything he's saying is backwards.
Once
and
we got
not
to the prequels, it was ridiculous.
Really?
He was speaking a completely other language.
He became a parody of himself.
Yeah. Like, I think around the survivors, a perimeter create. I'm like, there has to be an easier way for you to say that, man. Like, that's
Remember, like, the first time you're watching Attack of the Clones, it's like, oh, shit, Yoda has a lightsaber. You're like, no.
Oh,
this is terrible.
Well, the fact that he had it was doing the little flips.
Doing all the bouncy flips.
I thought that was pretty cool. Like, it showed him being the badass Jedi.
Watch it again with digital Christopher Lee. Like, he's just like, like they're just the digital Christopher Lee looks like a bad video game.
Well, the face that's on whatever body is in that lightsaber duel is just sort of like vaguely frowning, and that's kind of it. And you're like, I don't buy any of this.
Christopher Lee was so bad in those movies.
Yeah, could you not have picked a better name than Count Dooku? That's terrible.
No, but he's also Darth Tyrannus.
He couldn't pick a better name.
We're gonna call him. We're gonna call him Count Shite.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's like Dooku. Like you think of one thing. Right. Anyway, it's terrible.
It's like whatever that name means, however significant it is, whatever meaning behind it that actually exists, it sounds like poop. Stop it.
Yeah, Count Darkar, Count Druko. Yeah.
Put an R in there.
Count Drakkar.
Count Drakkar.
I just remember interviews leading up to the prequels. George Lucas is like, wait till everyone sees like the Jedi's in their prime and all the cool, amazing abilities.
Yeah, I remember
and
that.
And then it was three movies of them dodging and blocking lasers.
Well, that was my biggest problem with Attack of the Clones is like they got killed way too easy.
Right, they're just dying.
Way too easy.
They're Jedi Knights.
I do think that they overcorrected though in the Clone Wars TV show because they're just unstoppable.
Oh, yeah.
In that show, like they're just like sprinting at a horde of robots and just like.
But wasn't that the concept of what a Jedi is? Like a super assassin, soldier, wizard, all of these things. And like you said, they're just getting.
When you say it like that, I'm back in.
Pick up a rifle and shoot them, and you're dead. Like that's not how it's supposed to be, you know. And that's why it bothered me with some of that stuff. And also too, the fact that like the best thing, like, these aren't the droids you're looking for. Mm-hmm. Like that should be everything that a Jedi does. Like it should be it should be girls. It should be anything.
They couldn't even do it to Watto.
We need the James Bond of Jedi.
That's the James Bond Jedi.
We need some Jedi.
You want to take your clothes off? I want to take my clothes off.
Well, that's rape.
<That's not. laughs> The Jedis could be a bit rapey.
Okay.
There's a few of them.
Okay.
But like, but Lucas wasn't getting laid, so he didn't want the Jedi to get laid.
And the only time you saw that was when he goes, a guy offered him some death sticks, and he's like, you don't want those death sticks; they'll ruin your life. I don't want these death sticks; they're gonna ruin my life. And I was like, yes, finally. And that's
good.
The very beginning. And then we never see it again throughout the rest of the two or three movies.
Again, they tried to do it with Watto in the prequels, and then.
Who was? Oh, Watto was the guy with the.
Jedi mind trick.
Let's do the rest of the podcast like Watto.
Hey, Mundy.
You can follow me on Dick Fundy.
Mundy's swinging Perrier right out of the bottle, too. He's just living large right now.
Mundy drinking the Perrier. Hey,
you guys ever see a Johnny Mnemonic?
Second Monique Wilson.
He got a hard drive right in the back of his skull.
So my favorite...
Vince McMahon would write promos like, hey, why are you writing this promo?
You look like platypus dung.
I love the scene, talking about favorite scenes, the Sarlacc pit. That whole opening in Return of the Jedi is incredible. Like, that is, if you're taking at this point, now they're doing this opening sequence kind of like Indiana Jones or James Bond, where there's this 15, 20 minute bit of action that really has not a lot to do with the rest of the movie, but it's brilliant. That's the one, right?
Well, Luke is such a badass.
He's a full-blown Jedi.
Yeah. What is your experience with Boba Fett? Because I think by the time our generation came to Boba Fett, we already knew all of the original trilogy. There was, like, you know, video games and expanded universe stuff, and Boba Fett's a badass or whatever. But he goes out like such a punk.
Yeah.
In Return of the Jedi. How did that ever happen? How did he become this amazing badass folk hero?
He goes out with a malfunctioning rocket pack.
Yeah. Like, Boba Fett, where? Han Solo accidentally kills him.
Yeah,
it was like a Three Stooges kind of death.
Yeah.
But somehow he became like the most badass bounty hunter of all the time. And it's like, how?
And
look at how
Lando
he died.
That's a good point.
Lando was always the guy. It was like, that's the badass of the universe.
Yeah, Lando.
That guy
Lando's
knows
awesome.
How things get done, and he gets them done.
Right.
You just fall for cheap charm.
But that's what I don't understand. So as somebody
but that's a good point,
up,
though.
As somebody who grew up with the original trilogy and you saw it one at a time, was Boba Fett like awesome? And
no,
then you were disappointed with how he
died?
Here's
the thing. Okay, so here's how it worked. Is that the big – it became the action figures. Mm-hmm. How many of these can we pump out? Because there's only so many Luke, Leia, Han, Chewie, all right?
Yeah, nobody wants the Sarlacc keeper.
Right. But where were you
or
going?
The Rancor keeper. Right. I'm sorry. Excuse me. I'm sorry. Apologies.
He starts crying, the big fat bastard. You go back one to Empire Strikes Back. They had the first edition, which was all of the new creatures. Then they had a second edition where they're pulling out these people, characters that were in it for one scene.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And they would take a picture of that scene. They'd put that on the box. And you'd say, like, IG-88. There he is. It's a big, long, tall robot. Where is this robot? He's standing there for a second on the
Superstar Destroyer with the lineup of bounty hunters with
exactly and Boba Fett was one of those. Mm-hmm. I mean, you see him briefly in Star Wars, you see him briefly in Empire.
Sorry,
so you see him briefly in Empire. That's basically it.
Yeah. Well, so, I mean, he is the one that tracks down Han Solo. Like, he captured Han Solo, which is cool. But then he goes out like such a little.
But what I'm trying to answer is that he wasn't much of a character. Like you said,
so
like
how did he become?
I don't understand.
The toy came out before Empire, and the toy had that rocket thing that shot people in the eyes, and then they pulled all the toys.
That's a true story, yeah.
And then that was like.
Became this legendary badass of the Star Wars.
Because he was really taking kids' eyes out. There was a lot of kids
they pulled it, you couldn't have one, so automatically.
They did, though, is they released it with the rocket. The missile was stuck in there. You couldn't take
it
out.
Fire.
But there was a lot of kids when I was growing up that had their eyes shot out by toys.
Love it.
I'm like, what's wrong with you? Like Battlestar Galactica Cylon ship, and they were shooting these little wee pegs. Two kids lose their eyes. Like, what are you doing? Holding it right up and going, try it again.
Honestly, all your kids' toys are made out of foam.
Yeah.
Like, you can't die with that.
That's the good thing about always wearing glasses. You never had to worry about it.
Right, or those welding glasses is what I used to wear when I was playing. So Boba Fett became like this guy, but I don't remember him being like, oh my gosh, it's Boba Fett. I remember when he died, it was like, yeah, okay, he's dead. He's just another guy.
Well, it was a joke. He died for a gag.
Yeah, basically. Which, that's what he basically meant. But I think
by Lando.
No, it was Han.
But I like your idea of Lando's the guy who really runs the universe.
Yeah.
Because he runs Cloud City. He totally...
He's a tweener. Yeah.
He ropes in Han Solo and Han or Han. I'm from Canada.
Look, he can really cross the aisle.
Yeah.
He did. But then he gets his revenge at the end when they first show up.
And he gets his ship back.
He does. And and somehow he's able to infiltrate Jabba's fortress as a guard. Yeah. And he's like, so let's see. Lando is
I wonder what kind of application process.
That's what I mean. Like, how long was he living in that fortress to be a trusted member of Jabba's guard staff?
Six weeks. He had some paperwork
six
right. Yeah, went to some rudimentary training.
Yeah.
There's no waiting period.
Background check. Yeah.
He just interviewed with the Rancor guy who was crying all that time. Like,
back then he was an asshole because he had the Rancor.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, typical bully.
Nothing will happen to me, dear friends. I'm the Rancor keeper, and everything will be fine and dandy.
And then the Rancor dies, and he starts crying just like a typical bully like Mundy in high school.
Exactly.
Oh, we're going back. Callback.
For those of you who listened to the last one. So Han Solo, best character in the Star Wars universe.
Maybe Lando, though we're coming back to.
But I do love Lando.
They should bring Lando back in this one. Maybe he's in it too. Maybe it's a surprise.
Might be.
Billy Dee Williams with his slick back hair.
I
and
can't imagine Billy Dee so super busy.
But why not? Billy Dee Williams was the shit for a while.
Just have him be in one scene.
Yeah.
Just have him be in one scene and try your best not to make it an obnoxious cameo, and that's great. Just
him and Watto are hanging out.
I just want to know that he's okay.
I wish
whatever happened to him.
I hope that he and Leia got together, and Han and Chewie are off like doing their own thing.
Like a finger point across like a crowded room. Between
him and Han, baby, you got to be cool. Me and Leia together, and something.
Hopefully,
you
in the Star Wars universe, he's selling like smooth booze there too. That would be great.
Can we? Can we get like a Fast Times at Ridgemont High Animal House? Like at the end, where they freeze frame and tell you what the fate of it was. Yeah. Lando wins lottery, hires futures
Lando
Van Halen for
owns several nightclubs.
Yeah, exactly. Hires Van Halen descendants for a party, blows all of his reward.
Lives
or whatever
in
it was.
Star Wars.
I
Miami.
Feel like he got into real estate.
No, he did it right. He's going to be fine.
Yeah.
How about some of the more obscure characters? You guys get into the more like Lobot?
Lobot was the bald guy
with like this. He had like this brain. This robotic.
Lando's assistant. Right?
But he was bald, and he had like this robotic thing halfway around his head.
He's what C-3PO should have been if he wasn't whining and complaining. Mm-hmm.
So you're not a C-3PO fan? Is 3PO in the new one?
Yeah, he has like a. I think
I'm sure.
Yeah.
They can be in it.
Well,
forever.
There's always protocol that you need a droid for.
Yeah, he is fluent in over 6 million forms of communication, so that comes in handy literally all the time.
No, because
they all speak some racist.
They
form
all
of
speak
English.
Most. Yeah.
No, because
stereotypical. Yeah.
I think Anthony Daniels was complaining how secret of J.J. Abrams was.
Yeah.
Like, how do you mean?
Well, like J.J. Abrams is. Super secret. Because like,
Anthony
spoilers.
Daniels is like, look, I need this. Let me tweet something.
Yeah, and then Anthony Daniels
I need to
is
eat
like,
for the next 6 months until the movie comes out.
Well, he's probably just being hounded also.
Oh, yeah.
No, but he can go to any Comic-Con in the world and probably make, you know, $150,000.
Oh, that's how he's been living
him
for
and Peter
past
Mayhew.
Years, I would imagine.
Have you guys ever seen Peter Mayhew?
Yeah, he's an ugly guy.
He's giant, crazy, hair metal hair and everything like this.
Every picture I've ever seen of him, he's in tie-dye. Is that... You guys' experience with Peter Mayhew, too?
I've never met the gentleman.
It's a Wookiee thing.
Well, I haven't met him, no. It's just...
I met Mark Hamill.
You've never Google image searched Peter Mayhew?
No, what about...
Not with the safe search on.
What about Leia's her Jabba costume? They just sold this.
Slave Leia?
Yeah, they sold it for like $6,000 or something.
I thought
something
she
like
was
that.
Always very sexy in Empire because she was a real woman.
Full
you
of,
mean she's a
full
real
of
woman.
Power?
She was a full actualized woman. And I
in what way?
Because my wife's watching.
Because your wife is in earshot right now.
But what are you saying? Like she was a full actualized.
No,
woman.
like
she was a real boy,
a real character.
She was good. She was like strong and she. Was
oh, she's running. Yeah, she's getting them out of Hoth when they need to get out of there and everything like this.
Super competent. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Nick's a Hillary guy.
Yeah. Well, Bernie, but then
But
Bernie's like the Lobot of the.
Sure.
But her sex slave outfit was it sex slave? Jabba slave.
Yeah, Jabba's slave, I think, is what it's slave.
Which
Leia,
still to
this
day, you know,
what,
for Halloween, where everyone dresses up as a slutty something, there's always still slutty Leia's.
How do you go sluttier than that, though? Because that's like mostly.
Just amazing.
A slutty Rancor guy.
Just a slutty rancor.
Slutty Rancor keeper.
Okay. So we're wrapping it up here. So,
oh, no, we could go another couple more hours.
Well, no, you said slutty rancor, and that was the magic.
Okay,
word.
Yeah, that's true.
We could talk about a slutty rancor. Is this something you've thought about before?
Well, I can show you some fan fiction I've written involving you. It's WWE.
Star Wars crossover.
I've seen
events.
Some of that fan fiction. Oh, my goodness.
Dude, I've had slash fiction written about me, too.
Really?
I feel like if you reach that level,
that's time to hang it up.
Yeah, time.
Is it for nothing to report? Moses Mundy?
But,
what's your name again? Moses Mundy?
Delara found a bunch of like, there's a Reddit.
What's his last name? Moses
Packard.
Oh, Packard.
There's a subreddit of me shirtless from various different forms of media on Reddit.
Really? You or is it a Photoshop?
Yeah, but I did that
head?
As a joke.
No. are you Chub Bear Lover 69?
Yep, probably.
All right. Favorite Star Wars movie and favorite character? Clint.
I'm my favorite. Again, favorite, not the best. Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's got to be Han Solo.
And what about obscure character?
Obscure character? Man. I mean, I feel like we've talked about the Rancor Keeper way too much. That is legitimately one of my favorite moments.
He's got more time.
He's got more, yeah, than he had screen time in the movie.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with some of the jazzy nightclub singers at Jabba's Palace.
What was the name?
Max Watto? No.
No,
Max.
They're all named
Max
Watto.
Rebo. Max Rebo.
Max Rebo, there you go. Yeah.
No, but that's in Jabba's courtyard. Are you talking about the original?
I'm talking about... No, not the Mos Eisley Cantina. Okay. Although those guys are good. You know what? I'm going to change my answer. That's real good.
How about they change the music?
Drove me nuts.
Yeah. Why do they do that?
That's why I'm talking about not the special edition jazz singers from Jabba's Palace, but the original song.
Oh, ding, yeah. Dong, ding, dong. I remember I bought the soundtrack for the Jedi and listened to that over and over again. They changed the music. Why
they're
would they
such,
do that?
Look, they
Lucas
are such
hates
pros.
His fans.
He does. Lucas is an asshole. That band, I'm really mad at Lucas.
That band is so professional that they kept playing even though somebody was falling to their death.
Right.
Hey, the Rancor was literally eating them alive, and they were like, "All right, let's keep this party going, everybody."
Gig's a gig, man.
Yeah, it's like a wedding band after a drunk uncle gives a really bad speech.
We keep playing until the boss tells
exactly.
us to stop.
On dan din dan solo,
exactly.
Play music.
Favorite. Okay, we've got it's a three part now. Favorite movie, favorite character, favorite obscure character.
Favorite movie is definitely Empire.
Okay,
I gotta say, I think my favorite character might also be Lando. Because there's so much Han Solo that it's like, we get it.
Lando's an untapped guy. They should do a Lando prequel.
Oh, man. They're doing a comic book, I think.
With,
right now.
Terrence Howard as
no.
Lando.
Oh, God.
Don Cheadle would just take over him.
Scenery chewer.
Lando naturally gets rich and gets into politics, and then there's like something that comes out, and
he's
like, has a fall from grace, and
he's
has to
like,
work his way back.
He's like, Mayor Goldie right. Wilson. I'm going to be mayor. Yeah. Mayor Lando Calrissian.
I can see it.
So favorite obscure character? Cats
like
all over
the
place, man.
The Tusken Raiders. I feel like they're really untapped.
Yeah.
What is their civilization like?
Yeah.
Like, their communication leaves a lot to be desired.
I don't know.
Their specialty is just kidnapping Skywalkers.
I tell you what, though, they do.
So they're sand pirates.
They sure do know how to walk single file to disguise their numbers.
And they do a really good
So you got to respect that.
How badass was Alec Guinness as Obi-Wan Kenobi?
Super badass.
He's one of the best characters too.
You got to know he was another one of those guys on set. He's like, "What am I doing here?"
Right.
What is?
You know what he's doing? He's like, he sees Cushing in the corner. He's like, "Dude,
yeah,
what the hell are we doing?"
Cush, come on, man. What are we doing?
I'm doing another picture after this. Yeah. Leave me alone.
Cush, I've known you since 38.
Alec,
is this really what we
stop
want?
Stop it! I get my insurance if we.
We were.
Then which guy is
we
that?
We were in Lawrence
Peter,
and Arabia.
That's my Peter. That's my.
That's your Peter Jackson impression.
No, that's my Grand Moff Tarkin.
Oh,
yeah, well, that would be Peter Cushing.
That's Peter Cushing.
Yeah, but that's another dude. They dropped these two very critically acclaimed Shakespearean actors in with all these amateurs. Harrison Ford was not an amateur. He was great.
No, he was a carpenter.
Well, yeah, but he was also in American Graffiti.
Yeah,
and 1942, I think it was. He was also in that as well.
Ooh.
Briefly,
briefly.
Yeah,
right.
I think
right.
so.
I've never seen that.
He had a little bit of a pedigree before that. All right, so Tusken Raiders. All right, Mundy. All right.
Mine is Star Wars.
Okay,
not A New Hope or Episode 4 or whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
But actually, it is The New Hope, though.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you're going just
that was
Star Wars.
That was the first thing George Lucas changed.
Yeah.
When it came out, it was just Star Wars.
Because you also know too,
he's just Star Wars. Because like really? All the boxes and everything at Fox, because my wife brought some home, they had like the original logo, and it was called Star Wars.
You're kidding me.
Wow.
No, that's serious. That.
Wow.
I mean, because literally
it wasn't
from
Star Wars or The Star Wars, it was Star Wars.
Why did
the
they change
premiere,
it?
He started changing everything. It's crazy. Yeah. There was no title. There was no opening
crawl
either,
I'm telling
right?
you from firsthand experience, he hates himself, and he has to take it out on the things that he did well that people love, because that's how he's built.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know him?
I know him in the mirror.
He knows the sort.
That's how he's built. Truly. So why did they change it to Star Wars?
I have no idea.
Okay.
By the time it made it to screen, I think it was Star Wars. But like looking at all these old accounting boxes that just had like the logo and Star War, was like, that's really weird and for some reason seems awkward on the tongue.
It's like the short period of time when Keith Richards was called Keith Richard.
Yeah.
Like the early 70s.
Nobody
were all wrong.
Can we not talk about
nerds
that?
Are just...
What, Stones?
This is
or Johnny Mnemonic.
this episode is going to be Star Wars / Johnny Mnemonic.
Johnny Mnemonic.
This one's going to be called Star War.
Star War.
All right.
Your fans are going to go, like, the ones that love Star Wars are just going to fact check us.
Oh, they just hate
I
us right now.
I saw the box. I saw all the boxes.
So you actually have proof.
Not with me anymore.
Visual
but,
proof.
Yeah.
Right, right.
I saw
if you, if you needed to get some, we could get
you. You would feel comfortable
Johnny
testifying.
Mnemonic your brain and take out that image.
Was there ever any Johnny Mnemonic merch? Like Johnny Mnemonic dolls and stuff?
I don't think there was even a game.
Is there a Keanu Reeves doll? There's probably a few of them.
It's got to
make it. We'll get your action figure.
At least
paint the hair black.
Put a bowl cut on it, and you got every Keanu Reeves.
Although a Johnny Mnemonic action figure would be a great thumb drive to have.
Right? Wow. Seven people would appreciate that joke.
Yeah.
Any
it wasn't a joke. I was serious. That would be awesome. Yeah.
Any toy makers out there that are looking for a special?
Yeah, send it over to my place along with that last Starfighter
for
stuff.
A tax write off. Make this thing.
Make this thing.
So my favorite character is Lando too.
Wow, a lot of love for Lando. You guys didn't even realize that until we started talking.
He's the best. Yeah. And then very obscure character is that dick in Mos Eisley Cantina. He's like, I've been wanting it in three systems. He doesn't like you.
Oh yeah!
I don't like you either.
The guy with the messed up face.
Yeah,
yeah. And then the guy ends up losing his arms. So that's what happens. Yeah.
That's what you get.
And just a really bad edited scene.
Did you learn any lessons from that guy?
if you see some kid in a bar that shouldn't be in the bar, you start bragging about the things you've done.
Good. Okay. I just wanted to make sure that you gleaned the appropriate moral from that.
It's my buddy Jericho.
Yeah.
What you learn is you never mess with like the guys that you think you can, your asses you can kick. Like, oh, look at this old man and a kid. Mm-hmm. I can easily kick their ass because those are the ones you stay away from. You stay away from the silent ones.
The quiet ones.
Especially ones that look like wizards.
Well, and as soon as you know, maybe the quiet one hasn't done anything well, but as soon as he does something, it's going to be cool.
Yeah.
Well, also, that guy is dumb because he was around when Jedis existed. And it was like, that dude looks like a Jedi. Also, he has like a long metal rod.
Why?
He has a metal rod.
They were out on the outscurts.
Was concealed.
Hold on a second, though, man.
I'm sorry. 30 years ago, when some like Jedi came and tore up the Tatooine at the pod race, people don't talk about that.
That's true.
Weren't the Jedi's been driven
from the Earth? Weren't they all like underground at that point? Weren't they all dead?
Mostly dead.
They had trading cards.
That was the end of the prequels.
Right, because remember, Obi-Wan Kenobi, he's a hermit now. You stay away from him.
They can't all be Jimmy Smits.
Also, that is the worst.
Jimmy Smits is a Jedi. That sucks.
No, he wasn't a Jedi. He was Bail Organa.
He got to just hang out and keep being a senator.
Oh, was he Leia's dad?
Yeah. He raised Leia.
So when is Carrie Fisher half Hispanic?
She's adopted.
Yeah,
she's taking care of him.
Okay.
All
right.
No, so wait. I just realized this. Obi-Wan Kenobi was like, look, I got to go in hiding because the Emperor's looking after me. I need like a new name.
Uh-huh. Right.
Ben Kenobi.
Done.
Okay.
Beautiful.
Perfect. Yeah.
It's like never find you.
No one will ever figure
I'm
that one out.
I'm Superman and I need a disguise. These
glasses.
Well,
he lives way out in the desert to keep an eye on Luke, though.
You think?
Yeah.
Also, if you were Darth Vader, wouldn't you go
at the end of
Revenge of the Sith. I'm going to go check out my old home. Huh. Maybe they went there.
Yoda went to Dagobah and Obi-Wan went to
what did you just say?
This is how dumb
a lot of plot holes arise now that they go back and do the prequels from this.
Yeah, because like, okay, hey, I'm Darth Vader, I'm evil now, I just killed a bunch of younglings. You gotta change that name.
Younglings.
Hey, the Emperor, I grew up in Tatooine. Oh, you should probably go there. Because I bet they might have sent your kids there.
Hmm. No, didn't he? They died. He thought they died.
Yeah, but we should just burn the planet down. Because I have a lot of bad memories there.
Man.
Well, they blew up Alderaan.
Living now, bro. We got work to
do. My mom got killed by Tusken Raiders. I think I'm going to go back and kill all of them.
That's a
good point, right?
He was such a terrible Frankenstein monster at this point. He didn't know what he was doing.
No!
Exactly.
All right, I'm going to go with Empire. And I was going to say Han Solo, but that's pretty typical. So I'm going to go with...
too easy.
It is. I'm going with Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Nice.
Throughout the course of the series, because I think...
Oh, okay.
I think the original... the prequels, the best character was Ewan McGregor.
He's the only good character.
And also super underutilized. Like, I thought when they first cast him, he's going to be the shit. He's going to be the new Han Solo, and he's going to have all this cool stuff to do. And he didn't, which was such a drag, because he was great.
He wasn't involved in the love scene.
In 99, what did he have? He had,
He was hot.
Trainspotting. Yeah. He had A Life Less Ordinary. He had a handful of other...
He was like the hot new guy on the block. Yeah. And he fit because he
casting Adam Driver back then.
Yeah. And he also had studied, apparently... Alec Guinness to play a younger version of Alec Guinness, and his cadence and his voice, it sounds like Alec Guinness. He did a great acting job in that movie.
By the third one, he's doing an Alec Guinness impression.
Yeah. Well, by the third one, he's like,
he's actually acting. Because I think he's like, acting at all. Shut up, George. I got this. I'm an actor.
Yeah, exactly. The first one, everyone's got to be in their best behavior because it's the new Star Wars and it's George Lucas, and then once they realize how much of a hack.
I bet he was polite as all shit. By the third one, George would talk to him. He would tell him what he wanted, and Ewan McGregor would say, okay.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Mm-hmm, got it. Great. Mm-hmm. And then he would go and do literally whatever he wanted.
I was in Japan once, and there was this guy called Dick Murdoch. He was an old-time wrestler, and he was great. And he was working with this young Japanese boy one night, and the Japanese boy came up, Mr. Murdoch, I have high spot, and we could do this, and drop kick, and high, and head scissor, and corner, and jump over down. And this is not the guy from the Trade Federation, by the way. This is like Japanese guy. Yeah. And Dick was like, uh-huh, okay. Uh-huh. Yep. Okay. And when the kid left, I'm like, how do you remember all that? He goes, I wasn't listening to a word he said. I know what the fuck I'm doing. He went up there and they tore the house down. But he's like, okay, sounds good, sounds good, great. Sounds good. Nah, I don't know what he's talking about.
Whatever you got to do.
He punched him in the neck.
Yeah. Give him a throat punch. And
it was the worst match I had ever seen.
Only one of them is alive.
See, you know, that's not like the weirdest thing. I'm listening to your podcast. He's like, let's just throw it out there. Let's just figure it out in the ring. Yeah. If I did that, it would be like, oh, we killed wrestling. Yeah. It was the worst. Nothing good came of that.
I'm just envisioning like Chris Farley falling through the table. Money just falls to the ring. The ring just—it's not even cool either. Like Big Show, Brock Lesnar. It just
it's
falls
clearly
apart.
An accident.
My feelings are kind of okay. Well,
no,
look. If you ever bring me to the ring, I'm betraying you as soon as possible.
Okay, well, that's not going to happen. So let's not worry about it.
We'll see.
It. All right. So favorite obscure character. I got a few here. I'm going to go through a list. Bib Fortuna.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who is the guy? I don't have to explain to you guys, but he was the guy that
looked like the vagina. Like,
yeah, he had a big kind of weird. No, he didn't look. Did he look like a vagina? No, he had like weird, like tentacles on top of his head. They wrapped around his neck like a scarf.
He's Jabba's guy.
Yes, yeah. Jabba's kind of like guy in the shadows, staring. And
he's
also,
he's the one that brought in Luke, and Jabba's like, "You weak-minded fool!"
Yeah.
Smacks him in the way.
You fall for Jedi mind.
Oh man, I want to swap
the little rat guy.
Oh, okay.
To the little rat guy?
No. I want to swap for Admiral Akbar.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Who also had a weird kind of semi-racist voice.
Oh, yeah.
What is he like? He's like a Archie Bunker. What are you talking about, bro?
He just clearly had gills that he was working with.
And giant fish eyes.
Yeah.
He was a living fish.
I will say one nice thing about the prequels. In the Revenge of the Sith, Obi-Wan's going after the robot guy who sucked. Like
Grievous, yeah.
Yeah, with the...
General Grievous?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The wheezing? And why was he wheezing?
Because he was part human. I don't know. It was weird.
Okay.
Yeah. And then he's talking to, like, this, like, ugly-looking alien who, like, oh, man, I bet this guy's going to be a dick to Obi-Wan because every ugly-looking alien in Star Wars is always a dick.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
This guy actually helped him.
Oh.
And I was like, okay, that's cool. Maybe this... Nope, this movie's getting worse. This movie's getting worse, and there's nothing good in it.
So just going back to what we said an hour ago is that you love this movie because you just wanted to like it so bad.
I just wanted to – it was Star Wars. There's no way Star Wars couldn't be bad in my head.
There's no way Star Wars could be bad.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, and if this is okay, this maybe is movie's not perfect, but I bet episode 2 is perfect. I bet they ironed out the kinks.
Listen.
And then I saw episode 2, I was like
– So you feel the same way with Kiss the Elder?
Yeah. Oh, no, I've done that with Kiss. Yeah, it's like, I've done that with wrestling. I've done that with, like, the new generation. No, this is fine. Everything's fine.
Yeah.
Everything's going to be good.
A couple other ones. The whole Greedo thing. I loved Greedo. And this the whole thing, like, that made Han Solo less sympathetic because he shot first. Mm-hmm. That's such bullshit. I hated that.
That he shot first?
That Han
shot. That they changed it to that Greedo shot first, so Han was reacting.
Right.
There
Han's,
was nothing
a, Han's
good.
A mercenary. He's an assassin. Yeah. Of course he's going to shoot first. Huh?
Keep that danger.
Yeah.
Like, he's a smuggler.
Well, because he knows what's up.
Yeah, I'm surprised Lucas didn't go into Empire and make Landau look less smooth.
Well, you couldn't do that. It's impossible.
Well,
it's impossible.
I'm sure he tried. I'm sure he got the
play some jump cuts.
Try to get the whiz boys over at ILM. Hey, this guy's too smooth. Mess that up.
Can you mess his hair up a bit or something? Yeah. No, sorry. We tried. We put on the hair mess app and it didn't work for
him. Did he actually have a cape or do?
Yeah,
he did have a cape.
It was awesome.
They tried to put
it on. You remember
only
the scene?
Never looked good in a short cape.
Yeah. You remember the scene?
Short cape.
Shortly after Han Solo gets tortured in Empire Strikes Back and like Lando comes in and like tells him what's going on and everything, and Han punches Lando. Like, Lando pops back up, and the cape has been knocked off of him. And putting the cape back on with, like, a flourish is awesome.
Dude, next time you do it, can you get rid of the jacket and do the light-up cape?
A light-up cape? How about a light-up scarf? That'd be cool.
Oh, God.
What's his opening line when he sees Han Solo? Han Solo.
You son no good. Something. You got a lot of nerve coming here or something like
that. You got a lot of nerve coming here.
Good stuff.
Yeah. Hey!
Good stuff.
Yeah. And also, a quick shout-out for Aunt Beru.
Never.
And what else? The blue milk?
Yeah.
I've never met anyone else in my life named Beru.
Right.
I'm sure there's probably a generation of people that thought about it but then realized it's a pretty ugly
pretty
name.
Stupid
or,
name.
Or Bib Fortuna.
Well, yeah, but that's not...
Or Rancor guy.
Yeah, but they're not humans.
What about Dooku? Have you ever met any Dooku?
How about Rancor guy?
My buddy Dooku.
Rancor guy.
I'm sure that's been done. I'm sure some stuff.
Yeah. I met a girl. Actually, she was a lady. Her name was Dorcas.
Really?
The other day. And I tweeted it. Apparently, it's a name from the Bible. And I had a litany of people going, yeah, my name's Dorcas, or I know a Dorcas. So apparently, there's a whole – there should be a convention for Dorcases.
The Dorcas convention.
Because I'm sure they went through a lot of shit to become a Dorcas.
They need each other now more than ever.
More than ever. A couple of – Wedge.
Oh, Wedge, yeah. Wedge and Tillish.
Yeah, but Wedge
appeared in every one of the original three.
Something happened in the 90s where, like – people wanted more Star Wars more than anything. So, and I think this happened with Boba Fett.
Where they Boba Fett?
Boba
Fett.
He
was the clown.
He had a clown Bobo monkey Fett. Bounty hunter.
No, we're like, oh, you know who's cool? Biggs. Let's just write a bunch of fan fiction about Biggs.
And really
pump him up as a character.
Yeah. Now, here's the best one, though. Sergeant Porkins.
Porkins,
happens to be fat.
Yeah. Right.
Like, what chance did he have? Right. Like, I mean.
Did they cast him or rename him? Do you think they wrote Porkins in the or you know what I'd like to think? They cast that guy and he was just an asshole on set, so they gave him the nickname Porkins.
I think Lucas was like, "Hey, get a fat guy for Porkins."
Yeah.
It's like, come on, George, do you really want to do that? He's like, yeah, right, I do. And then he just does this. Yeah, that'll be good. And then because the Nemordians were originally going to be called like Asian guys. But then they were like,
Asian guys
too
I know.
Far. But then he was like, no, we'll just call them Asian guys.
Or what about this though? What if the character was Sergeant Porkins? Because much like Dooku, Luke was like, what are you talking about? Porkins is a great name. And what if this guy came in and just killed it in the read and killed it in the screen test and just happened to be a little bit portly?
And everybody's like, oh, forgot about this guy. Irony.
I bet Lucas was like, I saw myself in the mirror today and I called myself Porkins. So put him in an X-Wing and blow him up.
You fat bastard. Porkins. Everything you does is bad.
He's the one.
Porkins.
Too late.
He's that guy, right?
Yeah.
I like to think his backstory was that he was an excellent lover.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, hey, yeah, Porkins over there.
I'll show you Porkins.
No, it's because you fuck.
There's a woman in every port who was mad the day Porkins got it,
and a litany of babies without fathers.
No, because it's kind of fucking stressful.
Dude, you know the other thing we haven't talked about is like how bad Chewbacca gets screwed over.
Because
he doesn't get a medal in Star Wars.
Yeah,
at the end of Star Wars.
That's not even fair because George Lucas has literally fixed air quotes everything else in that movie. It's like racist.
But let's hold on a second. So why do you think that maybe there's like, was he maybe not involved at the same level
No, he was.
If Han gets one, Chewbacca gets one.
The only acceptable explanation is that Wookiees, like as a culture, don't do medals.
Oh, they don't accept medals.
Like he refused it.
Yeah,
but then like give us a nod. Like I understand what you're doing, but Wookiees don't do that.
Well,
yeah, I would love to see Chewbacca Well, you know, Dred Scott.
Or it's
Ferguson.
Like watching Duck, Duck, Goose. It's like Duck, no medal for you.
Here's another couple of things. Maybe Alderaans are very prejudiced against Wookiees and they refuse to give.
Well, that's why they got blown up. I'm glad they got blown up.
Or here's another one. Maybe it's like Bruce Kulick not getting into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame when Kiss was inducted. Why didn't Bruce get in? He played on.
Are you saying Chewbacca is a Bruce Kulick of
Chewbacca?
Chewbacca is at least Peter Chris,
the Catman, the Wookiee man.
I say he's Ace Frehley. Like I guess who, Bib Fortuna is the Bruce Kulick.
No,
Wedge.
Porkins.
No, Biggs.
Porkins is the Bruce Kulick. So
Vinnie Vincent.
But he should have. Listen. Maybe medals are only allowed for humans.
That's awful.
Okay, look.
I'm not making the rules. I'm just saying.
I gotta say, the Empire's looking even better. If we're just making rules, the Rebels are.
Medals are only for humans.
Chewie felt like jumping to the Empire? Like these motherfuckers.
Yeah, he might have been. Like he's standing up there, going, "Like you guys have no idea what I'm thinking right now."
Right.
You don't even like. I could tell you guys my plan about screwing you over and going to the Empire, but you wouldn't understand it. Only Han would understand it.
And
he'd think I'm joking.
Look,
he doesn't
Chewbacca's
listen to a word
at least
I'm
as
saying.
Smart as Forrest or Radio, and I'm sure they got medals. They did.
They did get medals.
They got
like
Nixon.
They got like everybody gets a medal day medals though, didn't they?
Well, radio, he should have at least got a participation.
He should have. Really.
He should have got participation. Or they should have done a Lucas re-edit where he just goes nuts and tears off Princess Leia's head.
Yeah. I feel like the only acceptable explanation is that Wookiees. And I'm sure.
Well, okay, maybe
somebody,
it's a culture.
I'm sure somebody wrote a doctorate, like a treatise on this.
Let's
somewhere.
Let's put this out to the Talk Is Jericho universe.
Yes.
If there's any official explanation as to why Chewie didn't get a medal, let us know.
Yeah.
At Talk Is Jericho.
I bet the Trade
Federation
doesn't pull that shit.
No, they probably do.
Wookiees will get medal.
Hey, Chewbacca, why don't you get that? I'll sell you a medal.
Even I'm a big piece of shit, and I give
you a medal, I sell you metal.
It's not wise to upset a Wookiee.
Thanks to Team Tiger Awesome, Clint Gage, Michael Trulli, and Nick Mundy. I think Mundy went right to Hollywood after he finished recording this podcast to sleep outside the Chinese Theater on Hollywood Boulevard until his premiere next Friday. Also, check out Monday Night Raw. Get what he did there. It's on ScreenJunkies.com. It's his new talk show. Nick Mundy, great guy. Clint and Michael Trulli also doing a lot of work as Team Tiger Awesome continues their bid to take over Hollywood. And as I continue my bid to become the biggest Star Wars fan on the planet. I'm so excited. I'm going to go see Star Wars next Friday night. Got tickets for the whole family. I will give you a review with the Irvin kids the following week, and we're going to find out if the show was good, bad, whatever. But thanks to you guys for being here for the Star Wars Symposium, and thanks to Talk Is Jericho sponsors, the one who keep this podcast free for you twice a week. DraftKings.com, play for free when you use the promo code Y2J. DDP Yoga, win an autographed copy of DDP Yoga by tweeting your own DDP Yoga story to me at Talk Is Jericho using the hashtag Podcast1. BetDSI, use the promo code Jericho10 to get $10 free. Uber, go drive with Uber. Download the app now. And of course, Amazon, the longest running sponsor of Talk Is Jericho. Easiest way to support the show as you do your Christmas shopping. You can find the links by going to podcast1.com. Click on the killer deal button in the top right corner of the page. Then hit the Talk Is Jericho button. I got Amazon links for USA, UK, Canada A. Every time you use the TIG Amazon links, Amazon kicks back a small percentage of the show to help us cover production costs. So go ahead, get your jump on the holiday shopping. You can take care of everyone on your list at Amazon. But before you buy anything, go to the Jericho links, podcast1.com. Click on the killer deals button at the top corner of the page. Then hit the Talk Is Jericho button. All right, that's it. Thanks for joining me on the Star Wars Symposium. Thanks for being here last week. Dennis Miller, Becky Lynch was great. Howard Jones from The Devil You Know. And next week on Wednesday, you ever wonder what happened to certain guys in the WWE? How about JTG? You ever wonder what happened to JTG? We don't have to worry about it anymore because I got him. Cheer! Right here, next Wednesday. JTG's going to be a podcast. Yeah, boy! Cheer! 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 And we're going to leave this week with a big Star Wars chant. Star Wars! Star Wars! Star Wars! Star Wars! Star Wars!
I'm off our kill.
You can download new episodes of Talk Is Jericho every Wednesday and Friday at podcast1.com. That's podcastone.com.